So let me know, of course, in the chat if you guys can hear me, but great to see a lot of you already in the chat waiting for me, which is good to see. So hello to Jonty and Raging Bull. I love this comment. It's that time of the week again where we all research and make smart, informed trades just for the footy gods to wreck us again. Absolutely, TLT was a little bit of carnage for a few players out there in what will already be quite a tough week, you know, with three quite important Supercoach teams on the bye, plus Origin backups and all that kind of good stuff. Aaron, Blake, good to see you. Lee Carlson, Chris Mitchell, KP, Joshua Hughes, let's go. Lots of questions coming in, which is great to see. I was concerned, yeah, anyone who was looking at or waiting for the Ashes. Look, it's raining in England. What a shocker. So in the meantime, head over to the stream and give us a listen. I won't blame you though if the cricket starts back up again and you want to catch us on the replay, because it's well poised. But until then, I'll hopefully fill the gap in entertainment and let's talk about some Supercoach. So yeah, great to see a lot of you in the chat already. Lots to get into, so I think we won't probably waste too much time and we'll get straight into it. Oh no, wait, before I do that, Scott, this is terrible. Hair looks terrible, mate. Sort it out. I was just about to say, I was coming into the stream, I primed my hair, I even put in my leave-in conditioner just for you guys out there, just specifically for you guys, and it's not looking good. You've got a question, you've got some trade thoughts, that's right, we'll dig into trades and questions a little bit later, but yeah, hair. I thought the hair was looking okay. Eyebrow grooming tips, nah, this is not happening. I don't do anything for my eyebrows. mine is definitely more important than the Ashes. Oh, I don't know about that. Cricket is quite good. Anyway, quickly we'll take a look at where I'm sitting rank-wise if anyone is interested. It was a good week for me last week, 1066, went up quite a bit, 2,550 spots. So now sitting at just inside the top 5,000, 4,992. Hopefully we're going to keep using this buy period. My goal was by the end of round 20 to get to the top 3,000. Hopefully we can get there because I think that should be a good progression based on, we were like 15K I think coming into the buy period. So I wanted to definitely push ahead of this in this buy period. This week is going to be tough though, for sure. Quick shout out as well to the group league. Steven sitting top of the group with an overall rank of 30. Had a pretty decent week with 11.22 in round 16. And all of our top 10 are sitting in the top 130, which is great. And shout out to Jerry as well, Paratragic86, who scored 12.57 in round 16. And he had played all 16 rounds, so he wasn't a sniper team. So that was also a little bit extra pleasing to see. But I think outside of that, we'll probably just jump straight into the hot topics because I think there's a lots of stuff to get into. So I have got this slide here about the draw difficulty for round 17 to round 21, but I think I've shown this, I think, the last couple of weeks, so I think we don't need to dig into it too much. Oh, sorry, what's going on here? My computer monitor died for a second, so I thought I'd lost my... what I was looking at. One second, sorry. There we go. Sorry, on the fly, I fixed it. Hopefully the stream doesn't mess around. Anyway, yeah, we've spoken about draw difficulty, I think, over the last few weeks. So hopefully you guys are pretty well versed in who have the better draws and stuff. So I probably won't speak about this a whole lot, but I might very quickly just touch on, I guess, the Supercoach points conceded and scored by the teams. I think it's the Dolphins are standing out now as the team that you can look to target, conceding a lot of points recently. They have had some injuries as well. Bulldogs for sure are a team that we can continue to target, as are the Dragons. Even the Knights, despite them looking decent, they've had still some points scored against them. Penrith still standing out as a top defense, as are Melbourne and the Broncos. Surprisingly, the West Tigers are still coming in at fourth place for the best fourth best defense from a Supercoach points conceded point of view. So even though they've had some injuries, they're still not conceding a whole heap of points, Supercoach-wise, but a lot of usual suspects in there, like Rabbitohs, Sharks, Manly, kind of rounding out that top seven or eight. What is interesting is the Roosters are pretty low on that. You know, only Canberra, Dragons, Knights, Bulldogs, Dolphins, and Cowboys, so a few of the teams who have had a lot of points scored on them. And you can see the Roosters attack is really struggling as well. Parramatta attack has been humming along. As a Clint Gutherson owner, I'm very, very happy with how the Parramatta Eels have gone. And he's had a really too big couple of weeks. And Sharkies, Rabbitohs, Penrith all standing out as well as some of the best attacks. But apart from that, I'll leave it there just on the team difficulty. You guys can refer back to this later. But I think the first topic of the week surely has to be Jareem the Dream Buller. So he is the most traded out player, I think, as of what is the time? 8:53 on this Tuesday evening. So really tough one. I actually put a poll out as well on Twitter because I was very interested to see what kind of the masses were doing in terms of with Buller. So I haven't got the screenshot up on the screen here, but I'll quickly just read out for you the results of that poll. So I basically just said, what are you looking to do with Buller? And I've got 953 votes on it, so that's a pretty good sample size. 31% holding, 24% undecided, 45% are selling. So not more than 50%, but still the majority of the people who are voting on this have looked to, are looking to sell, but this was done before TLT, so there may be some that might change the way people are thinking, but he does look to be more sold than held. So if you're interested in, I guess, what general masses or general public are doing, he looks to be getting sold rather than being held. It's a very difficult one, I think, with Buller because, you know, I've got some of his numbers on screen. Like, his season average is 71.9, 83.6 five-round average, 43 last week, which is all base power. The main reason people are looking to sell is, well, two main ones. One is the buy this week, and second is because no Appy, no Luke Brooks. People are just concerned about the West Tigers attack. Just if I do want to quickly go back to the previous screen on the Supercoach points attack basis. So the West Tigers are kind of around middle of the table in terms of the points that they score from a Supercoach point of view. So they're not horrible, but they're not also amazing. And the attack did not look good, I guess, last week. So I think a lot of people are using that opportunity where, look, he's probably peaked in price, break even of 94, and they're looking that as an opportunity to move on to like a gun. You know, maybe a gun fullback. Tom Turbo was probably the big one, although he's been named on the extended reserves for Manly this weekend. Cam Munster via duels, maybe a Reece Walsh at fullback as well, who's got a really nice kind of three-game run coming up. So there's definitely no need, though, I think, to rush and sell Buller because he will play round 19 for you. And the Tigers themselves have got a pretty decent draw. Cowboys away, Sharks in 19, then the Knights away in round 20, then there's the Dragons in round 21. And until then, that's probably when you're looking to maybe hold him. And then maybe say round 20 or round 21, you can upgrade him to one of your fullbacks or maybe your Munster or something. He's at a good price as well for selling. But I think there's definitely no need to rush into selling. And I think the decision whether you hold or sell, I think you should, one, look at your round 19 makeup, see how you're looking for numbers there. And then, you know, if you're really struggling and you need to have as many round 19 numbers as you can, plus he's got a pretty decent next 4 weeks after his bye, I think that probably would push you towards holding. I think, though, if you are kind of, you know, well set for round 19, I think it is potentially a good opportunity to move off Buller. Because while he's been a gun, he's been amazing for us in making money, and I am speaking to the owners out there. A few people on Twitter were saying, what do you do with Buller if you don't own? Fortunately, if you don't own Buller, this section is pretty much irrelevant to you, I'm sorry. But I guess most of us are owners, probably, I'm guessing. So, to be honest, I'm slightly leaning towards selling this week. One of the reasons why is that my numbers this week are not great. That's one. So I do probably need to try to still make some trades to get numbers for this week. And I think it maybe looks like a good opportunity to maybe get ahead of the curve. Sometimes you can get cursed by kind of selling guys a little bit too early when you could have just held. But I think there is also validity in that. You know, look, the West Tigers attack might not be good. You know, let's say he regresses from a 71 average and maybe continues to average 60. Look, he will lose some money, but he probably won't lose a whole heap. I'll just very quickly look on nrlsupercoachstats.com. If I were to plug in a 60 average for Buller, so let's just do this very quickly on the fly. I really should have prepared this earlier. So if he averages 60, so by the time you get to round 20 or round 21, say, so 4 weeks, he would have gone down to 590k, call it 600k. So if he goes and regresses to a 60 average, he might lose about 110k. So it might be 600k. And look, 600k, he's still at a good value to still make changes if you've held him through the round 19 period. So he's still going to be at a value, I think, that's worth selling. But I do think there is a potentially a good opportunity to move off to, you know, let's say if you're low on trades and if you don't view him as a season keeper, because I don't think he is a season keeper. I think the way that with the Tigers injuries and stuff, I don't think on averages he'll match a lot of those kind of origin guys. So I do think if you need to try to start getting some of those guys back in, I think it's not a bad move, I think, to do it this week. And at the moment, I'm still personally leaning towards Buller. It sounds weird, but last few weeks I've been doing a little bit better. And part of that, I think, has just been not afraid to make a few moves. Like I sold Fifita for Ponga last week. That worked out well. And maybe for me, it's also to maybe cash in on Buller. He's done a great job for us. You know, similar to, say, Reece Walsh pre-Origin. A lot of us owned Reece Walsh. He went up in price. We knew that he was benefiting from a good draw. Then some tough games started coming, and then straight away his scoring regressed and he started losing some money, and then people sold. I'm kind of seeing this as maybe potentially a similar thing, but it's not really related to the draw for Buller. It's more that he's lost some attacking weapons. Like, I'm seeing this question here from Jake, which is, does Buller get more involved without Brooks? Yeah, definitely. He's a very busy player. Like, this is the thing. You're not going to get bad scores out of him. Like, the 43 you got from him last week is probably going to be his floor, because his average base for the season is like 34. If you add in some tackle busts and whatnot, like, I think he can feasibly average 55, 60, even if the Tigers themselves don't do very well. I'm definitely not putting that past him. So I'm just wondering, like, if you're okay for round 19, I think there is a case where you could look to move off him and maybe go straight to like a Munster, Reece Walsh, or a Turbo. So that's kind of my general thoughts on Buller. I think it is very team specific. There's no easy answer to it, and I'm sorry if that's not what you're after, if you wanted a direct answer. But when we come to my trades, at the moment I'm toying with trading him. So if you want to see what I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking maybe he could be just a nice time to cash in, but I do need to be conscious of my round 19 numbers as well. In terms of some of the Origin players that people might be looking to get back early, so, you know, I got a few questions that I've pulled from Twitter and from the YouTube community post. One was Turbo or Munster first priority. Another one was, is now the week to get Turbo and Munster due to their price? Now, I'll answer the Turbo or Munster one. I think purely just on a break-evens perspective, Turbo is the one that you'd probably want to get. He's named on the extended reserves, and Cherry Evans has been named to start. So I'm just wondering maybe if they've named Cherry Evans to start, but not Tommy. Are they already thinking that they might rest him and he might not back up? That's one thing that came into mind, but they could still very easily put Turbo in on game day as the starting fullback. So I think you're just going to have to try to be very fluid with your trades. For me, I think Turbo, if you really want, like, I think your run home fullbacks will probably be two or three of, I think, Latrell, Turbo, or like a Reece Walsh. I think they're probably maybe the top three that you could maybe target, and maybe Gutherson, and you know, Gutherson might behind a little bit behind him. Manly versus Melbourne is on the Saturday, so they've got a two-day turnaround, I guess. So they take their Thursday, Friday off, and then they've got the Saturday game. So I think, given it's a tough game, I do think that if Turbo comes through that game okay, I think he would get rested. The issue is also then round 20, it's a home game against the Cowboys. Maybe he doesn't play that one. The run home for Turbo is really good. So I think, I don't mind Turbo as a trade-in, but I do think there is a bit of risk. And yes, I know he's got a really low break even, but like my own personal team, like I've got Clint Gutherson and he's been great. And I think with Parramatta still having a pretty decent run, I'm hoping that Gutherson can at least hold his value like in the 700K. And I'm personally thinking maybe Gutherson can be my stepping stone to Turbo, and maybe I go to someone else instead. So for me personally, I'm not looking to do like a Buller to Turbo trade this week. I like Munster for myself because of his price at 667K. Is a really cheap price. He's not going to go crazy with a break-even 51 in terms of he'll go up massively in price, but I do like Munster as a trade-in because I just think with Munster, the chances of him backing up, I think, is more. Melbourne are looking get a lot better on the ladder, but I think Munster and Grant historically haven't really missed a lot of games around Origin. I think it sometimes is like towards the end of the game, or end of the season, I should say, where they're maybe in the last week, then they rest them. So I don't mind Munster as a trade-in for Buller, and that's the trade that I'm potentially looking at doing, Buller to Munster. And I think, you know, I know Munster's draw is not great. Manly at home, Penrith at home is not fantastic, but Munster is kind of a big game player. His average against Penrith is like 63, which is, yes, it's a little bit lower than his historical average, but it's not that bad. A couple of other options that I've got in the table below me. So I've tried to get a lot of the popular players that Buller was being sold for. So I've got like the likes of a Cody Walker. I've got like an SJ who we'll talk a bit more about in a later section. Reece Walsh. I really like Reece Walsh as well. Now, obviously, Reece Walsh misses round 19, as does Munster with Origin, but three of the next four, assuming Walsh backs up, Titans, Dolphins, and Bulldogs, like, I think those are three of the best games for a fullback. So I really do like Reece Walsh as a potential I don't know if he's a pod because I think a lot of people still did hold on to him. But I think if you're looking for a fullback who he's got a low break even of 27, so he probably will continue to go up in value, maybe up above 700k. I don't mind Reece Walsh as a trade-in as well as a replacement for Buller if you're short for numbers and you just strictly need a fullback. With the Broncos, they've got a three-day turnaround after Origin, so they have play on the Sunday. So I think there's a fair chance that Walsh plays. The round 20 is maybe a little bit more risky, where it's a Bulldogs game, which Broncos can probably win without Walsh, and they've only got a two-day turnaround after that one. But I still think that Reece Walsh is definitely worth the trade. And if I had to rank the three of them, it's tough because Turbo's break-even could make him get really unreachable in price. But I still think that if you're like in my situation with a Gutherson who you can maybe get up to, I'd probably rank Munster above him. If that's not the case, then I'd say Turbo's number one. Then I'd say it's Munster. Then I'd probably say it's Reece Walsh. But again, very team dependent. Do you need the fullback? Do you need the 5'8"? I'm still battling with it myself, but I don't know. I've got a feeling about Munster. I don't know. The Storm are looking good. I think he's going to continue to have a really good run home. So yeah, for me, Munster. Seeing a question from Toolpro, Buller to Dylan Edwards. I wouldn't be going buying Edwards, I think, at this point. Now that he doesn't play round 19, Buller does. So that personal trade, I wouldn't be recommending that one. Ashton, thank you for the donation, $2.99. I'm just seeing if you did you have a question? You did have one I've on earlier. Should I go read Miney to Harry Grant? I've got Cook as your other hooker. Look, just on Grant as well. So I've got him on the expected points, you know, 354 points based on a season average over the next five. I haven't calculated it for Miney, but I can probably guess that it's a lot higher. So I don't mind upgrading Miney to Reed Grant. I don't mind upgrading Miney to Harry Grant. I think you'll lock in a hooker, and Grant is at a very good price as well at 599k. I'd be perfectly happy with that trade. And you know, if you've got Cook as your other hooker, I think you don't need to make any other moves at your dummy half for the rest of the season. I think that's a fair trade in. But that's kind of my thoughts on Buller, Turbo, Munster, and Reece Walsh. I've got Gutherson listed here as well. To be honest, I do feel like if you haven't got him already, Gutherson, I do feel like maybe you slightly missed the boat, because yes, the Dolphins game this week is good, but he has a bye then in round 18, and that makes it a little bit tricky, I guess, where, you know, if you're buying this week and if you know Reece Walsh is playing, I'd personally rather just go Reece Walsh, because I think, you know, yes, Reece Walsh has the bye around 19, but, you know, Titans and Dolphins the next 2 weeks, plus the Bulldogs outside of that, I think there's fair reason for Reece Walsh to maybe potentially even outscore Gutherson this week. So Gutherson, yes, he's been amazing. Don't think I would be looking to trade him in. And SJ, so I think I've got a separate section on SJ, so I think I'll probably speak about him in a little bit. There was a question, Munster or Cody Walker from Jaden. So if you are looking to get in a 5'8", I do like Walker probably just above Munster, I think, this week, purely because Walker will play every game now up until round 20. Round 20, Walker has the bye. And this is also a difficult thing. If you do get Munster this week and you already own Cody, Cody already misses out round 20. If Munster doesn't back up in round 20, you're going to have no 5'8 in that week. And so it could be a little bit difficult. So that's just one thing to keep in mind if you are looking to buy Munster this week. But out of those two, I'd probably just lean Cody. I think his draw is a little bit better as well. Just having a quick... I'm just reminding myself of the Rabbitohs draw. Yeah, they've got Cowboys, Warriors, Bulldogs in round 19. Like, that could be a great game for Cody before the bye in round 20. Yeah, I think out of those two, just for the next little short period, I'd probably go Cody. And look, round 20, if Cody has a bye, you can even sell him potentially to a Turbo as well via duels and whatnot. So that option is also there. So yeah, I think out of those two, if you're looking to buy this week, probably would be Cody Walker. Toolpro, I can see a lot of questions about Hosking. Don't worry, we'll definitely talk about Hosking as well. Fingers crossed we cover all of your hot topics this week. Now, just more specifically on SJ. So a lot of questions about Sean Johnson. He is, I think, the most traded in player this week. So, you know, very popular purchase this week. Let me have a quick look. He is the most popular trade in this week, and Munster is actually number two. So I think with SJ, like, I'm really high on SJ this week. He's got a Dragons matchup, which I think could be really, really good for him. The short-term draw isn't amazing because you've got Rabbitohs, like, up after the Dragons game, it's the Rabbitohs, Parramatta, Sharks, and Raiders. Like, it's okay, but it's nothing amazing before he has a bye in round 22. annoyingly, the benefit of SJ is actually his end of season draw, which is really, really strong. So just looking past this round 22 bye, he finishes with Titans, West Tigers, Manly, Dragons, Dolphins. Like, it's a fantastic run home. The issue is at that point, you might want to be going to a Nathan Cleary instead. So you're kind of not really targeting a great short-term run with SJ. What I like about SJ, though, is he's got a negative break even, so he's guaranteed to go up in price this week. And with a Dragons matchup where, let's say, if he goes another 100+, that'd be 3 tons in a row, and he's probably safe until round 22 to be around that kind of high 700s, low 800s, which will mean moving to Cleary is going to be pretty straightforward if you do need to. But I guess the thing is that if you didn't need to get back to Cleary, let's say there's a setback with Cleary's hamstring, I hope not, because I love watching Cleary, but let's say if that's the case, knowing that SJ's got a really great run home, I think he's someone that you can afford to hold. I do view him as the third best halfback for Supercoach, so I don't mind SJ. I think it also comes down to trades. Just be conscious that if you trade him in, there's a good chance you'll have to trade him back to Cleary. So I think if you're really, really low on trades, I'd probably say maybe don't go for it. I think if you've got like 15 plus trades left, I feel like it's an okay spot to go to an SJ. If you're holding Cleary to this point, there's definitely an argument where you could just keep holding Cleary, because it sounds like he'll be back round 20 or round 21, which is only now like 3 weeks away. But if you're really short for numbers, then I don't even mind moving to an SJ. And if you just want to trade back to Cleary, because at least you know SJ will play every game up until round 22. Lots of questions as well about Moses to SJ. So I'm seeing this as well from Hamish Hunter. Is Moses to Sean Johnson a bad trade if you keep SJ for the run home? So, I mean, this week it's tough because Moses, I'm expecting Moses to back up. I think the Eels, they're in a good run of winning games. Yes, the Dolphins game on paper probably isn't too difficult, but with backline players, that generally I feel like they do generally back up. And I think Moses, he plays on this Saturday, so he's got a 2-day turnaround. I've just got a feeling that he's going to back up though for the Eels. And I think if Moses is playing against the Dolphins, I think that's a better matchup than SJ against the Dragons. So I'd personally probably not do Moses to SJ this week if you find out that Moses is playing this week. And look, if next week comes, you know, Moses definitely has the bye next week, so he's going to be out. If you still want to move to SJ next week, you can. It doesn't feel like the smartest move though, with the Rabbitohs for SJ in round 18, I should say. But at least you'll know that you can still trade Moses down to Johnson. Like, unless he goes absolutely nuclear this week, he might go more than 100k and might get more expensive than Moses. But this week doesn't feel like a week where I'd be going Moses to SJ, in my opinion. Now, Hamish, in your situation, or if anyone is going for the long term and you're committing to SJ, then I think it's fine, because Moses does have the bye in round 18 and he has another bye later in the season. And Parramatta's run home isn't that good. Like, I think the Warriors have got a better draw for the rest of the season. So I think SJ will outscore Moses over the season. The question, though, is that are you going to go back to Cleary? Because if you're going to go back to Cleary, then I think with Moses, maybe you just ride it out. And you'll get a better idea of this, I think, after tomorrow. If New South Wales lose, hopefully not, maybe Nico gets to a game three, but I think Moses will probably still play game three anyway. But if they win, then for sure, you know, Moses is out. So maybe that in that case, you go Moses out next week if you have a good idea that he'll be out for round 18 and round 19. So I don't mind the trade long term, but I think just for this week, purely for this week, I think Moses is a good chance of potentially going and outscoring SJ. Someone said, I'm going to be death riding SJ all the way home. So I think what Blake said here is, I reckon hold Moses till Cleary comes back and then do Moses to Cleary. I think if you're low on trades, again, you want to make sure that you're going back to the guy that you realistically think you'll want for the run home. In saying all of this, I'm probably buying SJ this week too, but I'm upgrading Zay Katoa, who's kind of like, you know, I don't really need him in the team anymore really. So I think there's definitely a good upgrade there. So for me, I'm buying SJ, but I've done it in a way where, you know, I'm not having to sacrifice, I guess, like a gun player. So for me, I feel much more comfortable about it. But yeah, I don't mind the SJ trade. Short-term draw, not amazing. Long-term though, if you manage to just hold on to him, he'll be, I think, a really, really good option. But in saying that, with the short-term draw, the Warriors have been very, very good. And SJ has been killing it. His low score, I think, all season is about 31, which is, it's not too bad for a half. And just having a quick look at some of his scores against quote-unquote tougher opposition, like he's got 117 versus Sharks. He's got a He's got a 71 against the Panthers. Granted, some of his lower scores have come against top opposition, like a 42 against Melbourne, 39 against the Broncos. So he does have some of these lower scores in him, but he's gotten decent scores against some good teams too. So I think he'll be fine. And look, he scored 119 against Canberra as well, who were obviously in a home game and obviously up for Croker's 300th. I have also got Jerome Hughes here, but I do think if you haven't bought Hughes already in the last couple of weeks, I probably wouldn't be looking at buying him this week. I'd prefer SJ, given that SJ covers round 19 and Hughes doesn't. And I think eventually we're going to all want to go back to Cleary anyway. So I guess that's some of my thoughts around the whole SJ situation. Now, we've kind of already spoken about this a little bit, but I did want to have a little bit of a brief chat as well about some of the Origin players that you can look to bring back in early. I've already spoken a bit about Turbo, Munster, Walsh, and Grant to some extent. So there's a few other guys who I think, you know, looking at potentially going to maybe like a Payne Haas. I've seen a few people looking at maybe buying a Tino for Sumulaawi this week. So some of the questions that I've got here, one was Turbo, Gutho, Munster, and Grant all seem good value. Talk me out of getting two of them this week. Munster, Turbo, or Walsh buyers, they all have tough schedules. Do you wait till after Origin? I didn't pull questions specifically about Payne Haas or Tino, but there were some as well. There were some about buying Payne Haas and Tino. And I'm seeing a few questions in the chat as well about Fifita. So I think we'll definitely speak about Fifita as well. Maybe just let's quickly start with Fifita. So I'll try to find the question earlier. So this is from, from Gazaraki. He was answering the question. Charlie was saying, what 2RF should I bring in for Fifita? Look, if you've held Fifita until this point, I think I would just continue to hold now. I think I feel like the last time to sell him was last week. Now, look, if he, let's say he picks up a knock in Origin and he gets ruled out this week, then I think it's maybe fair that you sell because he might be out in round, he'll miss round 19 as well with Origin. And, you know, he is the risk of, you know, playing reduced minutes and whatnot. But I think if you, on the basis that he plays this week, it's his ex-club, Broncos, I wouldn't be selling Fifita, I think, at this point, even though he's projected to lose a lot of cash with a really high break-even. Fifita is definitely someone who I wouldn't be looking to buy back anytime soon. I think I'd be looking to buy him back post-Origin for sure. Part of the reason for selling him was that he potentially might get reduced minutes. So I think he's a very easy one, I think, to answer and say probably wouldn't be looking to buy back before Origin. Payne Haas and Tino, I kind of view a little bit differently because I think they're both just like absolutely like machines. And I think they will continue to just keep playing minutes. Only thing with Tino is that last time out, Fifita got the reduced minutes and Tino got the good minutes. Do they swap it this time around this weekend? Who knows? But I think if you're in a situation where you can buy Tino this week, I don't mind the buy. Even though he misses round 19, you can just lock in a guy that you know you'll want for the run home. He's very expensive at 814K, but I think he's shown, like, especially over the last 5 weeks with a 5-round average of 92, he's got a ceiling. He scored tries as well. And after round 19, the Titans don't have any buys. So you can pretty much just lock him in for the rest of the season. Not so much the case with Payne Haas, who does have one more buy after the Origin period. He is obviously a lot cheaper than Tino. Seeing a question here from Brayley, which says, would you trade Tarpany or Tohu Harris for Payne Haas? I personally wouldn't. For me, the thing, like, front row forward is that position where, look, Haas and Tino are probably the two best front row forward. I mean, Tarpany has had a few poor weeks. Tohu Harris, I think, has been solid. So I probably wouldn't make those trades purely just because I think front row forward, the difference in the best versus kind of the guys coming up after them, it's not as high as, like, I guess, some of those other positions. So I think with Tarpany and Tohu, I think you can just, they both play round 19 as well. Don't forget that too. So I'm kind of, I think with, like, I've got those two front rowers and I haven't really considered selling one for Payne Haas because I think I would probably try instead look to upgrade someone or maybe, you know, get, like, let's say if you have a Schuster, maybe trade Schuster, flip one of Tarpany or Tohu down to second row forward, and then maybe upgrade Schuster to a front row forward, like a Payne Haas. That's kind of the trade that I'd rather make, just to add to your depth. I feel like one of Tarpany or Tohu, I'd say it's an upgrade to Payne, but I think the upgrade itself is not worth it to justify the trade, in my opinion. Haas's numbers started dropping off at this time last year from Duncan. One thing to remember with Payne Haas though last year was that he had those AC joint shoulder issues, so that was really hampering him. So just be conscious of that as well, because I wouldn't read too much into what happened last year and correlate that to this year, because I think that was more injury related. If he's injury free this year, I think he'll finish the season just fine. I probably wouldn't buy Haas, I think, because I do think there is potentially a chance that they do rest him after either game two or game three. So with Haas, I probably wouldn't buy him during this Origin period. Tino, though, I can make an exception, because I think Tino is just more likely to keep backing up and playing good minutes, because I think the Titans just need him more than Payne Haas, I think, in my opinion. This question here from Mitch. Thoughts on Sipley and Hosking to Tino and Isaiah Yeo? I really like trading in Tino. Isaiah Yeo, I'm not sure about, because he's got Origin and stuff and he's going to continue to miss games. And I think the Panthers are one of the teams that are definitely going to rest their key guys, because they're well primed to make a run at potentially going for a three-peat. And I think they're going to want to make sure that those guys are all fit. He's 702k as well, Isaiah Yeo. I'd rather, to be honest, buy Kalomatungi for cheaper. I think there was a few questions before about Kalomatungi. He's 620k. Cowboys, Warriors, Bulldogs, the next three. Maybe a risk that game three he plays State of Origin, so he misses round 19. That's probably the only knock I have against Kalomatungi, because let's say he gets a call up for game three, he'll miss round 19 and then he misses round 20. But if you're working off the basis that he is available round 19, I'd prefer him for sure over Isaiah Yeo. Even if you're not an overall player and you're head-to-head, I still prefer Kalomatungi. I think he's just got more upside than Isaiah Yeo, in my opinion. And I think, yeah, Turbo, Munster, and Walsh, I'm fine to get any of those three, I think, pre-Origin, because I think they're someone that realistically you could run home for the rest of the season. And Harry Grant, similar boat, 599k, 38 break-even. He's at such a cheap price for him that I think, you know, if you're like that guy earlier upgrading Marnie to him, that's one trade and you're locking him in for the rest of the season. So I think most of the backs, and maybe Harry Grant because of their cheap price, I'm fine getting in early. Aside from Tino, who I think is just an absolute machine and will keep backing up, Payne Haas and Fifita, I think you wait until post-Origin. So that's kind of my rundown, I guess, on some of the some of the Origin guys you might look to buy before or maybe wait until after. Just some questions now. I haven't got anything else on front row forward, so if there's any front row forward ones, I might just pick them out from the chat. So I'm seeing this from Gazaraki. Iman, I've got Tarpany, Torhu, and Haas. Think about upgrading Tarpany to Tino. Tino's killing it, and Tarpany hasn't been that reliable. I really don't know what's been happening with Tarpany. It's a weird one, because, like, he's getting the minutes, but granted, that game against the Warriors, there was a lot of time where they were just waiting for the Warriors to convert and kick a goal because they had scored so many points. I wonder if that was impacting it. But, I mean, before that, we're looking at 67, 82, 47, 70. Like, I mean, Tarpany's been solid. He's got dual. I do think it's an upgrade to Tino, but for me personally, it doesn't feel like a move that I'd make. Maybe in round 20. So round 20 when Tarpany has the bye, if Tino backs up, I think you can maybe upgrade at that point for the run home. But I think just in the next few weeks, the round 19 coverage would probably make me lean towards keeping. Similar with Fanua Blake. I can see from Matthew Davies saying Fanua Blake to Haas. Similar thing. I think Fanua Blake is someone that you'll want, I think, for round 19 as well. So yeah, I'd personally probably look to just to hold on to some of those guys, and you can maybe reevaluate after. Because the way I see it as well, front row forward, it's not a position I think you're going to get massively hurt. We may be talking 20 points difference between a Tarpany and Torhu and a, you know, Payne Haas and a Tino. Major Fishing Adventures just answered very briefly just then on Fanua Blake. Alrighty, so I think that covers off a lot of the stuff on the Origin talk. So next we'll get on to Zach Hosking. So Hosking and Eli Katoa. So obviously a bit of a blow for owners of Hosking this week that he's been named in the New South Wales Cup and is on the 18th man. Now, I think just be fluid with your trades and stuff, because if Panthers rest Isaiah Yeo and Liam Martin from Origin, every chance that Hosking could just come back into the team. But look, on the assumption that he's out this week, I think it's probably time to get rid of Hosking, because he doesn't cover round 19 anyway. And look, he's kind of regressed anyway. He has a 5-round average of 48. So he is probably worth selling. There was a question that came in, which was any replacements for Hosking at a similar or lower price. very, very difficult to answer. There's not really a lot of options. I've got a section a little bit later where I talk a bit more about cheapies, so I might hold fire on that until a little bit later. But with Eli Katoa, there was an update that NRL Physio retweeted literally like an hour ago, which was he has a scratch on the eye, no surgery or major treatment needed, just a week of complete bed rest, and he's in good shape, and he's looking to play versus Penrith. So Eli Katoa looks like he'll be out this week, but looks to be due back in round 18, I should say. Now, Katoa doesn't play round 19 in any case, so I think if you were really struggling for numbers and he was one of your better options to sell, I think it's fair to sell. But if you've liked what you've seen out of him and you bought him, let's say, I know a few people who bought him in the week that Dilbags got ruled out, and a lot of people moved to him via duels. If you're still holding to Eli Katoa, your numbers are looking okay for round 19, and maybe you can afford to keep him this week. He's someone I think you could look to keep, but if you sell, he's 550k, there's some decent value in him. So I don't mind selling Katoa, but I think based on that update, it looks like he will be back for round 18. So take that information for what you will, but I think he's equally a hold or a sell. But I think if you're really struggling for numbers this week at his value, I think you can look to bring in some decent options, like maybe someone like a Kalamatangi. Oh, thanks, Daniel, for a $2.99 donation. Really appreciate that. Do I trade Taruva or Manu to Munster? 12 trades left. If I had to trade Taruva or Munster? Sorry, Taruva or Manu. That's a tough one. I mean, neither play round 19. Taruva's been good. Taruva has been really good recently, actually. The last kind of 4 or 5 weeks, he's starting to just... the base is starting to pick up again. Manu back at center. Low break even. We have got a section on center wings coming up as well, but I'll quickly just answer this one. He does have a nice dual Manu, which, I mean, Taruva's 545k, so he's got decent value. Newcastle, Melbourne, then it's the Dolphins and Bulldogs outside of that. If I had to be honest, I would probably sell Manu, as crazy as it sounds. I just think Taruva could just be someone who, you know, Penrith, after round 19, they don't have any buyers for the run home, so at least you know that he's pretty clear for that period. And got some decent games, Dolphins and Bulldogs just after the round 19 bye. Actually, you know what, I'm going to change my answer. Despite the draw, I think looking a little bit better for Taruva, I think Manu, just with the duel, I think might just come in handy in the future. So I'd probably just upgrade Taruva, but to be honest, neither feel like must sells, but I like getting Munster. Sorry, I can see your chat from earlier, missed your super chat. No, sorry, I just wanted to finish my spiel on Eli Katoa before I went back to it. But yes, Eli Katoa, Hosking, I think are fair sells. Connolly Lemuelu, so he's been named on the bench this week. Again, bit of a blow for owners out there. He does cover round 19 though, so I think he's someone that, look, if you can afford to hold him, he does have dual, so it can come in handy. But if you wanted to, you know, if you've got numbers for this week and you wanted to maybe make a good upgrade on him, he's got 100 break even, so he is set to lose a lot of value if he does stay on the bench and only plays reduced minutes. And the draw is tough: Parramatta, Broncos, Titans, and Penrith. That's a pretty tough run coming up. So Lemuelu, look, I think he's someone that you can afford to hold for depth, but again, he is probably someone that you can sell. But look, round 19, it's a Titans matchup. He could do well that week, so not. Doesn't feel as easy of a sell to say like a Hosking, but I can see the rationale as well. 100 break even and named on the bench too. Seeing if there's any questions related to these guys that we can maybe tack off in this section. Hosking to Liam Martin. I mean, that's probably a question that'll have to wait until after tomorrow, see how Liam Martin pulled up after Origin and whatnot. But I mean, Liam Martin, look, he's been really good form. Like, I mean, his performance in game one was unreal. So just looking at Martin, he has been an option for Supercoach in the past, but not like an absolute standout. Like he's averaging 52 for the season. He has missed a fair few games, fair enough, but just looking at his games where he's played over 60 minutes, there's only three of them this season: 83, 53, and 80. So to be honest, not bad numbers at all. 468k, it's a good price. The only downside I have with trading in Martin is that it doesn't cover round 19, and I think he's a very good chance of a rest. He's probably one of the better options around that value that is less than Hosking, but I don't know. I just feel like the the potential restings and stuff just makes me lean a little bit away from him. Surely Hosking plays this week. Either Martin or Yeo will be rested against the Knights. Yeah, look, this is a fair chance. They could easily get rested this week and then be ready to go for a Melbourne game. So I think, again, this is one where as much as you can, be fluid with your trades and stuff. So if you find out that Zayo and Liam Martin are getting rested, Hosking will come back in, then you can maybe just look to hold him for this week. Ashton, thanks, Martin. I'm off to sleep. No worries. Hope you have a good sleep. Hopefully I won't go for too late. It's already 9:30 though. Very quickly on center wings. So there were some, I won't probably spend as much time on this section. I don't think there's been a whole lot of trade movement for center wings this week. I'm looking in the traded in. Joey Manu is actually fifth most traded in, to be honest. I wouldn't probably be trading in Manu at this point, named at center again. I think, you know, he did well last week, but that was at fullback. I don't think now, without the round 19 coverage, he's probably worth looking to buy this week. The only other center who's in the top 10 traded in is Campbell Graham. 690K, he's been averaging 77 for the entire season, break even of 84, so he's probably maybe going down a little bit in price, but he does have a really good draw. I think with Graham, I'm all for the buy. The only thing you need to consider is, again, game three, if New South Wales lose game two, maybe they just look to give Campbell Graham a debut in round 19, and then all of a sudden you're going to only get him for Cowboys and Warriors, and then you're missing him for the Bulldogs game, and then he misses round 20 as well with a bye. So that's the only thing I'd just be conscious of if you're looking to buy Campbell Graham. Maybe if you could, you could wait until round 19 and trade him in that week, but yeah, otherwise I think I can't fault the trade in of him, because I think I'm gonna assume he doesn't play game three for New South Wales, and if he doesn't, the next three are really, really good. Plus, he has the Broncos round 21, but then Tigers in round 22. And the good thing with Campbell Graham is that he's got a really high work rate, so his base stats are really good. So even in tough games, you know that you're gonna get like at least a 40, 45 out of him. He's averaging 35 in base for the season. I'm sure if you add in the tackle bust and stuff, he's probably averaging closer to 40, 44 in like base power. So you're never gonna get bad scores out of him. So I don't mind the Campbell Graham trade-in. People were asking Buller to Campbell Graham. Again, if you're fine to sell Buller and you need for a center wing, he is probably the one to go for. Some of the other options I've got here, like Mulatalo's got the bye this week, so no one's probably going to be trading him in. But Jermaine Asako, I think if you don't own Asako to this point, I would probably antipod him for the next kind of 4 or 5 weeks, because I don't love that run of Parramatta, Broncos, Titans and Penrith before the bye in round 21. Maybe round 22 onwards, I think, is probably when you want to get Asako, because I think the Dolphins have got a really good run home after round 22. They've got Bulldogs, Knights, Roosters, Tigers, Cowboys, Warriors. It's a good run home for the Dolphins at that point. So I think you can maybe afford to antipod Asako at this point, given that he's a really high price, and you can maybe just take the chance that he goes down in price over the next kind of 3 to 4 weeks. The other center wing I think that might be attracting some interest is Charles Nicol-Klukstad, 672K. I don't think it's too late to get him in. Warriors are looking good. He's actually looked really good to the eye test, at least for me personally. I think he's looking a lot more involved, and I think he's someone that you can still look to purchase. At 672K, I think he's got dual fullback center wing, which is quite handy. So I don't mind even him as a trade-in. I'd probably slightly lean Campbell Graham, but if you're really scared potentially that Graham plays game three, at least you know with Nicol-Klukstad, he's safe all the way up until round 22, where the Warriors have the bye. Don't worry, boys, the Ashes are still on rain delay. Cool, cool, you guys can keep watching me, that's all good. I reckon Gregor Soros will fall off after being dropped last week. Look, I mean, I think Marzi would have learned his lesson. Hopefully that just means he comes out firing and does very well. So yeah, Marzi Onus thankfully has been named for TLT, so he will get him this week. Look, it's a tough matchup against Penrith, but he's got a good floor on him, so I'm still hoping for good scores out of him. And yeah, to be honest, I don't think there's a lot of other movement in the centre wing. So a lot of the other names I've spoken about previously, like Garrick, Nick Meaney and stuff, are all viable options. Dan Gagai, if you want a pod. But the table below me, I've got the expected points average for more of the popular centre wing options. You can compare that to a Jareem Buller. The only ones who I've got over the next 6 weeks who top Buller are Marzu, Garrick, and Asako and Campbell Graham. So they're the four that stand out. I've already mentioned my thoughts on Asako. So Cranbourne Graham does look like he will probably outscore Buller over this period. Mazu potentially, although I expect him to probably regress slightly given the draw is not amazing. And Garrick as well, without some of the origin stars, maybe he's a little bit questionable whether he does actually outscore Buller. Plus he doesn't play round 19, Garrick. But yeah, that's some of my thoughts on the centre wing. Just seeing if there's any questions. So this one's from Cyreal. Alex Johnston to Nicol Klukstad sideways. I do think so, because Alex Johnston is not going to be playing State of Origin, and neither is Cody Walker by the look of it. So I think I'm just looking at those next three, like Cowboys, Warriors, Bulldogs, especially that Bulldogs game in round 19. Like, that could be a game that the Rabbitohs score a lot of points, and I think AJ will be a very crucial number in that week. So to me, that does feel a little bit sideways, I think. I think if you've got AJ, hold for the next three. Round 20, though, I can definitely see an argument to sell, because the Rabbitohs do have another bye in round 26, and the run home is kind of, it's a little bit up and down. So yeah, I probably wouldn't be trading AJ to Nicol Klukstad. To be honest, I wouldn't be trading him to anyone, at least over the next 3 weeks. I'd still be holding him. All right, I'm just going to fly through some of the last few sections here, just to keep the stream not to a crazy length. Keep posting me the updates on the Ashes as well. Don't worry about the Ashes, are still on rain delay. Ashes won't be back until after lunch. Oh, boo. How boring. Bloody England weather. What can you it's not that surprising, is it? Any other specific trade questions? We'll try to get towards the end of the stream. I'll finish off my sections, and then we'll definitely try to do a more of a dedicated Q&A at the end. So if you've got specific questions, hold fire. I'll let you know when it's a good time to ask them. there was a couple of questions this week about, you know, like looking to start getting rid of Deadwood. Like, I've called this section trimming the edges. So there was one question, which was, is this the week to cut Deadwood, Isaiah Katoa, Couchman, Schuster, Billy Smith, Jackson Ford? Another was hold or sell Schuster. Can I please go over second or fourth and center wings, maybe some cheapies? So I've kind of included a little bit of stuff about some of the cheapy options that you can maybe look to buy this week if you are looking for downgrades. I do think it's a good time to start in general, like cutting some of the Deadwood from your team in terms of, like, you know, the Isaiah Katoas, maybe the Alamotis. I've chucked in Matt Drury here because I'm an owner, if anyone is an owner as well. Billy Smith hasn't really been performing as well. And a Schuster, to be honest, I think the way that TLT is unfolded, I'll probably keep and play Schuster this week. I just don't think I can afford to really move him on at this point. Isaiah Katoa, though, I think, you know, I've spoken about the Dolphins' tough run. I don't think he's someone, like, especially in a key position of halfback or 5'8", if you've got him there, I really do want to be targeting higher upside positions. So for me, Katoa feels like someone I think definitely is ready to be moved on. Alamotti, he plays round 19, so if you still held him, you can hold him for that reason, I guess. But I'm looking after the bye. It's the Knights, Rabbitohs, Broncos, Penrith. Like, those four aren't that easy. So Alamotti, I think, is someone that you can also look to start trimming from your squad. Billy Smith is also someone I think who's definitely a viable sell. I'm probably going to be holding him this week and playing him just due to the lack of numbers this week, but definitely someone who... Look, I mean, he's a good player, so I think you can easily hold him as a kind of a sixth or seventh center wing and just park him in your bench, and maybe he could just be handy depth. But I think if you have an opportunity down the track to upgrade him to, like, you know, let's say via duels, if you went Billy Smith to Turbo, like, obviously that's a 400k we're talking here, but those kind of moves when you can upgrade, like, a Billy Smith to, like, a Reece Walsh type or something like that, I'd say, yeah, try to start upgrading. The only issue with, I guess, the cheapies is that we don't really have a lot of good quality cheapies. And I'm seeing this from Sam, which is about, should I be nuffing? Now, nuffing, for anyone who doesn't know what nuffing is essentially getting, like, bottom dollar players who won't be playing. And they're essentially just like a non-player in your 25-man squad. And typically when you buy a nuff, you buy someone who has dual status. The most handy are probably a second or forward center wing. Next, probably a fullback center. And next, probably a second row forward, front row forward. So if you're going to purposely buy a bottom dollar cheapie who's not going to play, at least make sure they have dual status. That way you can use them in your kind of moving around your trades. Sam, it still feels a little bit early to be nuffing, in my opinion, because we're seeing this week is so challenging for depth and for numbers. I think the same will happen in round 20. I feel like I only feel comfortable, I think, nuffing after round 20, just when you know you've got the run home. But even then, especially in a season like this with buys and stuff, I do think that there is potentially still a good case to not go with Nuffs. So I think it still feels a little bit too early to go Nuffing, which is why some of the cheapies that I've got here are all guys who at least have been named to play. So some of the options that I've got listed here, Jake Granville, shout out to the SE Whisperer who got him weeks ago. And I've tried to get people who are specifically second row forward or center wing, given the question. So Granville is 360k, so he's not a genuine cheapie, but he is named to start again this week, although Reece Robson could come in, I guess, and back up. So that's probably the only issue with Granville. If you're looking center wing, Xavier Coates from the Storm. Granted, the Storm don't have a great draw for the next couple of weeks, and then they have the bye in round 19, but he's 320k, playing for a gun backline team. Maybe he's someone you could look to downgrade to. Jed Cartwright, so there was a question about him, I think, earlier in the chat. He's second or fourth center wing. He's 229k, and he was actually named to start and also to replace, Jacob Host. So it looks as though at the moment that Cartwright has that spot, like at least he got selected over Jacob Host. So he's probably someone who look at 229k, if you're able to wait and you find out that on game day, Cartwright is still starting. To be honest, if you're looking for a downgrade, I don't mind him because he's 229k, you can go down to him. And if he eventually falls out of the squad or becomes like a bench player, look, if he's a bench player, he'll be an AE nightmare. But at least he's dual, he's got second row forward and center wing status. So at least you know that, like, if he nuffs out and eventually doesn't become a player, at least you know he's got dual and he can kind of be handy. So I don't mind Jed Cartwright if you are looking for a downgrade, either in your second row forward or center wing, and he might be a number for you this week. Andrew Davey I got from the Eels, 368k, so he's a little bit expensive. Valens Tavare, he's 258k, he's been able to start at center this week. This one I'll probably just need to double check on NRL Physio, what's the prognosis for Branko Lee, because I think that's really the key question. We saw previously when Branko Lee was named and fit, he came back straight into the Dolphins team, and Tavare was moved either to the bench or out of the squad completely. So I'll just need to double check what's the latest on Branko Lee's injury there. I don't think NRL.com had any solid updates on him. Let's see. Yeah, NRL.com just says that Branko Lee is out with a leg issue, so there's no real certainty. People have been mentioning Josh Kerr. I think a few people have mentioned to me Josh Kerr. I'm seeing, where was it from? From Joshua Hughes? let's see. I expect Josh Kerr to go. Oh, so this is from Cyril. But yeah, Josh Kerr's moved to the Dolphins. What's his price? He's 331k. I'd probably need to see it and see what his role is at the Dolphins. But I think he's been named on the interchange for the Dolphins this week. So, he's on the bench then. So the fact that he's on the bench and not starting again, I'm not sure what the role is. So probably not someone I'd be jumping on straight away. A couple of other ones. I've got Dylan Lucas, I think, for the Knights, 242k. I think the only issue with him is that he's been playing back row, but he's been listed in center wing. But I think as soon as Lockie Fitzgibbon is back, I think next week, because he had a failed HIA, I think Lucas will drop out. And the other one is the Cowboys back rower. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I'm probably going to completely butcher it. Okay, well, let's give it a shot. Fini Fuaki? Please let me know if I butcher that. Anyway, he's been named to start for the Cowboys back row, and it looks as though Helam Lukey is going to be out for a few weeks with a facial fracture. The only risk with him is that Jeremiah Nana is going to come back into that team. Excuse me. Nana is going to come back into that team pretty much after Origin. And so I don't think I don't think that guy is going to have a good long-term role. So he's probably not, again, a cheapie I'd be looking to advise to go to, because he's only got 2RF status. If he had dual, maybe, but the fact that he's only got the single second row forward means probably not someone I'd be looking too hard at. I haven't got a section on hookers, so I'll take this question from Tax After Hours. Thoughts on Jake Simpkins as a Tiger, thoughts on Jake Simpkins, basically. So I had a much longer breakdown of Simpkin, I think, last week. And he came out and basically scored more or less what I was thinking, which was be around that low 40s. He came out and scored 49. Only played the 48 minutes, though. So he played less minutes than what I was expecting. But if you are looking for a Sonny Luke upgrade, he still has a negative break even. I don't mind him, because I think I think I estimated that if he kept averaging about 45, he would probably go up about 150, 170K, Jake Simpkin. And he's already gone up about like 60K last week. I mean, he's close to 300K, so that's a bit of a bummer. Brendan Hands is maybe an option that you could go to. He's a bit cheaper at 282K with a minus 9 break even. No timeline though on Josh Hodgson's injury. So again, there's a bit of a risk with Hodgson that he could come back straight away. But Brendan Hands has looked really good. So I think if you want the slightly cheaper guy, maybe Brendan Hands. Otherwise, Simpkin is still, I think, someone that you could look to get. Very quickly, Jackson Ford. Someone, the person who asked this question mentioned Jackson Ford. I think if with the carnage that's happened this week, I think it's fair enough to just say that Ford is a hold. But he is coming up against his ex-club, the Dragons, so he could maybe put in a big performance. So I think if you're a Ford owner, I think you probably don't need to rush to sell him this week, because I think he maybe could go well this week, just ex-club stuff. Is Ponga an option? So yeah, I haven't really spoken about Ponga, but look, I bought Ponga last week. I've been very, very happy. I was very happy with the 95 points. And look, Penrith this week is tough, but I'm pretty sure Ponga has a pretty reasonable break even. He's got a break even of, 28. So look, I'd expect him to score more than 28 against Penrith. And then he's got the Bulldogs in round 18, which I think is a fantastic matchup for him. So I think if you still want Ponga, I think at 660K, I still don't think it's too bad of a price. If you're going fullback, like if you're buying him at fullback, the only issue now with Ponga is that at 660K, Munster is about 5K cheaper and Reece Walsh is about 20K cheaper. So I think if you're buying at 5.8, to be honest, I'd probably just buy Munster instead. And if you're buying at fullback, to be honest, I'd probably buy Reece Walsh instead. I just think both of them have got slightly better draws over the next few weeks. But Ponga is definitely still someone I think you can get. Misses round 19, but he has no other buys, so you don't probably have to worry so much about rest and backing up from Origin for Ponga. So I still think Ponga is definitely a decent buy. Pure hindsight, hey, can you please explain why you capitalize some teams in your charts? That's so the teams that are in caps is when they're home teams, and when they're lowercase, it's an away game. So if in the previous section I have like I'm looking at Manly versus Melbourne, so Melbourne's lowercase because it's an away game for Manly. Whereas, say, Roosters have Canberra in capital letters, that's Canberra at home. All right, we'll quickly fly through the captaincy, and I think we'll try to get to your questions because I want to make sure I get to some of them as well because they're all very important. Captaincy this week is a little bit tough. I think if you're buying SJ this week, he's my personal favorite, I think, for a VC. Dragons matchup, playing the first game of the week on Friday, I think there's potentially a good chance for Johnson to go well. So I like him as a VC. If you don't own Johnson, let's say if you still own Moses or Gutherson, I think they're probably the next best VC, given that they've got a Dolphins away matchup. And actually, all three of those players, SJ, Moses, and Gutherson, if you look at the Dragons' points conceded rank to halfbacks, they're the worst. Dolphins are the worst to fullbacks, and they're the second worst to opposition halfbacks. So those three guys all have pretty favorable matchups from the Supercoach point of view as well. So I do like those three as VC options, and I'm probably looking at, if I don't end up getting Johnson, I'll probably go VC Gutherson, but very likely I'm buying SJ, so he's probably going to have my VC. For that reason, with Moses and Gutherson, I don't even mind going early on them as a captain. Like, there's a good chance I go VC Johnson, captain Gutherson, because especially if, let's say, if Moses doesn't back up, and if Gutherson's goal-kicking again, I don't mind Gutherson as a captain. He's in good form. It's a good matchup against the Dolphins. Granted, it's away, but maybe Gutho is a decent captain option. Aside from that, if you're a Reece Walsh owner, I think captain him. Titans home game, provided he backs up, of course, but I think it's a really good matchup for Reece Walsh against the Titans. If you're buying Munster this week, I think he's also a pretty safe captaincy option. He's good. He's generally safe for like a 75-80, and we know he's got the ceiling, so I don't mind Munster as a captaincy either. Later in the week, maybe Cody Walker. The only issue with Walker that I'm thinking is that, like, Cowboys at home, like, Cowboys just doesn't feel as easy of a matchup now on paper. I think they're showing a little bit of resurgence over the last few weeks, so I don't know if the Cowboys screams like a matchup where the Rabbitohs will score like 40-plus points. So I'm trying to think of the games where that could happen. I see that happening in the Dolphins Eels game. Eels doing well. I can see the Warriors doing well. I can see the Broncos scoring lots of points. Manly Melbourne is a tough one. You know, they've got that old rivalry, but just knowing Munster, big game player, I think there's a fair chance that he also has a good game as well. So I'm seeing here from Cyreal. Am I just being lazy by slamming the captaincy on SJ? Not at all, to be honest. I think SJ is pretty much probably is one of the better captain options this week. The only issue is that I hate captaining someone on a Thursday. It's just because if he doesn't do well, it just kind of ruins the rest of your weekend for Supercoach. But yeah, at the moment, I'm leaning VC Johnson, captaincy Gutherson, or maybe a captaincy Cody, or captaincy maybe like Munster. Teddy maybe is an option as well if you still own him against the Raiders at home. But I think some of those other guys have got slightly higher matchup or better matchups, I think, this week. All right, that's kind of, we've gone just over an hour. We've kind of covered off my main hot topics. Very quickly, I'll show you what I'm thinking of doing with my team, and then we'll do about 5 minutes of straight Q&A. So if you guys have enjoyed this stream so far, there's 185 of you watching, which is amazing. Love to see it. Give the stream a like. Let's see if we can get to 100 likes. And you know what? I'm a little bit disappointed about the lack of hair questions and hair chat. I was enjoying it at the beginning of the stream, but you guys just wanted super coach advice. I thought we were getting towards getting more hair advice, but doesn't seem that way. Only joking, only joking. So for me, I mentioned it a lot last week, but I've got 418k in the bank. You can see my second row forward is quite disgusting. I have one active second row forward this week, which is Josh Schuster, because Matt Dury's not been named either. So my head is telling me fix up the second row forward, but Preston, Bateman, and Nicara all feel like holes to me. Look, I can easily upgrade Matt Dury. I could probably upgrade Schuster, but he's a playing player this week, so I feel like I don't want to sell him this week. And look, with Terry Evans back, he might be a little bit better this week. But I definitely think Schuster can be upgraded. But I don't know. Schuster feels like someone who he's got a pretty handy duel. Turbo and Cherry Evans back could just mean maybe for the run home is a handy option. So at the moment I'm just looking at holding him. But for me, I'm thinking because I don't really want to play Isaiah Katoa against the Eels, it just doesn't feel like a good matchup. Oh, sorry, I need to change the screen. Sorry, thanks for reminding me. Sorry. Sorry about that. Let me do that real quick. Cool. I think you guys should be able to see that now. Cool. Let me know. Sorry about that. I forgot. Screen. All right, I changed the screen, guys. I've changed the screen. I've changed the screen. So as I mentioned before, second row forward is looking disgusting. Only have Schuster as my starting second row forward. There's no other second row forwards I've got playing. But I think Nicara, Bateman, and Preston are all holds for me. But yeah, it's pretty dire. But I kind of want to trade out Isaiah Katoa. And the trade that I did last week was meant so that I can trade an SJ this week. So I think I'll still do Katoa to SJ. I've got 16 trades left as well. So I kind of feel like I'm in a position where I can maybe afford to go SJ and then go back to Cleary. So I don't know. I want SJ. So Katoa to SJ, I think is probably happening for me. That leaves me with about 15k in the bank. And I'll probably be VC SJ at that point. Now, the only issue is with 14k in the bank, it doesn't really let me do other upgrades. But what I can do is I can do Buller to Munster. I can do Buller to Reece Walsh. And I can do Munster because I can switch Ponga down to my fullback spot. I can even go, to be honest, I can even go a second row forward this week with Buller because I can swap Asako to my fullback, and then I can swap Jack Howarth to my center wing. So I'm not completely sold on trading Buller either, to be honest. But at the moment, I'm thinking that it might be maybe just a good opportunity to cash in and hope that he just regresses with the Tigers losing Appy and Luke Brooks. So I'm thinking maybe of going Munster this week. And so I mean the fact that you can downgrade Buller to Munster is quite nice actually, and that leaves me 60k in the bank. So now at least what I'm happy with is my halves are looking really good now with like I can feasibly run home with Walker and Munster, Hines, and then just need to do Cleary in for SJ, Gutherson and Ponga. Like Ponga could be a run home option. I think someone was asking it a little bit earlier. Ponga's last month is really good. So if no other fullback is standing out, Ponga could feasibly be a hold. Gutherson as well, but Gutherson could become a turbo. Center wing's looking okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of happy we're doing those trades. And if I brought in Munster, I don't know if I'd captain him, but I'm still a bit undecided. I don't mind Gutherson as captain. But yes, in any case, I would probably reserve... let's see. I'll take Billy Smith out of my... Yeah, so I'd probably be taking out Christian Welch for Tarpany, I guess, in my reserves. I'd be copying an auto emergency anyway this week because I've got a bunch of non-players. So my auto emergency would be one of Christian Welch or Billy Smith, which feels okay. So I think my team at the moment for this week would have 19. So if there's any other late outs, hopefully I should be okay. I don't even have to do the Buller trade, but at the moment I'm thinking maybe just let's go get Munster and lock him in. Anyway, that's my thoughts on the team at this point. Captaincy is still undecided, but let's see how Origin goes tomorrow, and then we'll go from there. All right, guys, that's kind of all on my team at this point. I think we'll do about 5-ish minutes until 10 o'clock with questions, so get them in. I'm just going to have some water in the meantime. Amar, mate, hair looking luscious as always. Great stuff. Fine. Your hair looking great. Now, can I fix my screen? Great stuff. Should I trade or hold to get Johnson for Moses up? Yeah, I mentioned the Johnson for Moses stuff a little bit early in the stream. So if you haven't missed, if you missed that, I do recommend just scrolling back. I did talk a lot about the whole Moses to SJ trading situation. Thoughts on Brimson as a pod? Yeah, I like Brimson. I do like Brimson. So he's 18th man for Queensland, I think, this week, isn't he? Or tomorrow, I should say. And the 18th man doesn't play for their club. So the 19th player does, but not the 18th man. So the issue with Brimson is that if he's 18th man again for game 3, he'll miss round 19, but he doesn't have any other buys for the rest of the season. And I think when I was looking at his numbers, Brimson, when he didn't, when he, yeah, so his, yeah, okay, so he's played 5 games this season where he hadn't been injury affected, and he's averaging 68. So he's been really good actually in the games where he's been fully fit. So I don't mind Brimson as a pod. He's similar to Ponga in that you've got that 5'8 and fullback dual status. And just having a quick look at the draw for the Titans for the run home, it's not amazing. Like, it's a bit up and down. You've got Broncos, like, I'll read out the whole thing. You've got Broncos, Raiders, Dolphins, Parramatta. So the first 4 games, a bit up and down. Then it's the Roosters, Cowboys, Warriors, Sharks. Then it's Penrith, Melbourne, Bulldogs. So he's got Bulldogs, Dolphins in there, but every other game, maybe Warriors, every other game doesn't feel like a great game. Like, the games where he scored well this season, it was the Tigers, it was the Dragons, it was Melbourne, Dolphins, and West Tigers. So he's averaged 68 in his 5 games, but granted, he has had some easier matchups. I think that run home isn't amazing. So I think I don't mind Brimson as a pod because I think he's a gun player. But if I had to look at draws, I think I would... I think I'd probably take someone like a Ponga instead. Aman, you know you're only playing 16 players. You only get 1 AE for Nikora or Duri. That is a very good point. Yes, that is annoying, isn't it? Because I can't do anything about it. Ugh. That's very frustrating. That is annoying. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Am I not counting correctly or something? But I think you're right. But yeah, anyway, I haven't had a good chance to look at my team this week, but we'll sort it out. I'm probably going to do another stream, to be honest, this week, potentially Friday. I just thought it might be good just to do a more specific Q&A stream after Origin tomorrow. So if I can't get to your question today, don't fret. We'll probably be looking to do a specific one later in the week as well, and hopefully we get some more updated information post Origin. Hosking to Lolo, Tamalolo. Now, this is a great shout, actually. So, yeah, Tamalolo, just going to quickly check his price. 475K, geez, that's a good price for Tamalolo. He has been named to start again this week. And to be honest, he looked really good, actually, last week. That last run that he did to set up the try for Drinkwater, like, that was in the last minute of the game. And he had played 55 minutes, so he had played decent minutes, I guess. The issue with Tamalolo has been just that his minutes have kind of hovered around that mid-50s, and as a result, he's been averaging kind of like high 40s, low 50s. Like, his season average is 49. So he's maybe an option. The only, I guess, another downside of Tamalolo, he doesn't play round 19. But if you're desperate, at basically the same price, don't mind Tamalolo. Like, 53 in base last week was good. You might be able to get a little bit ahead of the curve with Tamalolo, but yeah, I don't think he's the guy that we all probably wish he was from a few seasons back. But around the same price, yeah, I'd say probably outscores Hosking for the rest of the season. Piakura as a smoky for bottom dollar. Yeah, so I did think about putting Piakura in that cheapy section because Kurt Capel looks to be out until at least round 20. So Piakura looks to be good for round 17, 18, and they don't play round 19. So he'd only be good, I think, for the next couple of weeks. So the only issue with Piakura, I think he just feels very short term because I think Kurt Capel will come back about round 20. That's what NRL Physio was saying. So Piakura just feels a little bit short term. That's the only issue I had with him. What is it with all the hair comments from Ashwin? Oh, mate, you just need to watch a few more streams, and you'll understand the hair references. Could make a move via Howard this week to get 17. Yeah, that's the thing. Instead of going for Munster, I could sell Buller to go like get like a second row forward. To be honest, what I could even do is like I can go Buller to like Payne Haas. I know I spoke before about maybe Payne Haas can be a wait, but I can go Payne Haas and I can switch Tohu or Tarpany down to my second row forward and play someone there instead. So I have thought about that, but yeah, I'll need to have a think about the whole Buller thing. I mean, SJ for Katoa feels like it's pretty much locked in for me. The Buller trade, I'm still not 100%, but I'm slightly leaning towards selling. But I also just need to dig into my round 19 numbers. Like, if I just take a very quick look at how I'm looking for round 19, if I were to trade Buller, I'd be on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I'm not counting Damien Cook or Matt Dury. So I'm on 13 if I did those moves. So I still would have enough around 19. So again, that might be another reason why I might be okay selling Buller, but still lots of thought and thinking for me to do. I could very easily change my mind on it. Is having 6 to 7 trades for the run home, i.e. round 21 to 26, a concern, purely head-to-head? I would say for overall, that amount of trades for those rounds is fine because I think one trade a week is probably enough. For head-to-head, I'd assume that you'd probably want a little bit more. Like, you might want to have like maybe two trades in like your more important kind of finals rounds just in case you're a late out and everything. I think 6 to 7 for a head-to-head player, I'd probably say if you can get that to like 8 to 9, I'd probably say that's probably a little bit more comfortable from a head-to-head focus, I guess. Cheap center wing is a season hold besides Cartwright. Thoughts on Sloan? Look, I can't recommend Terrell Sloan in my opinion as a trade, and I think he's just way too inconsistent for my liking. The Dragons they play around 19, but I don't know the vibe about the club, you know, with the Ben Hunt situation and everything. Like, yes, he scored 82 and 59 the last 2 weeks, but look, let me read it. Like, this is the thing. So round 8, he had a negative 24 break even. A lot of players jumped in on him. After the 90, 18, 20, 27, 29, 25. Yuck. Then 59, then 82, but this could just be deja vu, so like I can't recommend Terrell Sloan in my opinion. Don't do it to yourself. thoughts on running Jeremy Marshall King and Grant due to the safe floor? Yeah, look, those two I think are perfectly fine hookers to run home for the rest of the season with. They've been the two highest averaging as well, so no issues there. Eli Katoa to Tino, Buller to Campbell Graham. Yeah, to be honest, I like those moves. I can get behind those. All right, we'll take one more question and then we'll wrap it up there, given we've already ticked over 10 o'clock. So I'm sure plenty of you would be looking to go to bed soon, / stay up and maybe watch the cricket. But we'll do one more question and then, look, don't worry, guys, we'll look to do a stream later in the week as well. just post Origin, just to try to tackle some specific questions and answers from you guys. All right, one more question. Let's see. From Jason. Okay, we'll take this one. Hey, man, thoughts on Moses, Bulla, and Fifita to SJ, Asako, and Tino? Is it worth the boost? I don't think it's worth the boost because I think we spoke about Moses earlier. I think Moses this week is definitely someone you can hold. I think Dolphins matchup, I expect him to back up. I think Fifita, if you've held now until this point, I think you continue to hold as well. It feels a bit sideways if you're going Fifita to Tino. And Bulla, I don't mind as a trade out, but Asako, he's got a fairly tough draw. No, I don't like that boost, Jason. I think Fifita's a hold. Moses to Eshe, look, I can get behind, but this week it's not a must. And Bulla to Asako, instead of Asako, I'd probably go someone like a Campbell Graham instead, maybe, who plays round 19 and covers you for that week. Asako, I think with a tough draw, you can look to antipod him, in my opinion. All right, guys, I think we'll wrap up the stream there. That was a long one, hour 17 minutes. Of course, I just ramble on for way too long, but hope you all enjoyed that. Do give it a like on the way out. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Hopefully see you all again a little bit later in the week, and go the Blues is all I'll say. We need all the luck tomorrow. It's a tough game away to Suncorp, but let's see if they can pull out a miracle. Anyway, thanks so much for joining me, guys. I'll catch you a little bit later. See ya.